So the graphic business, let me start with that one. Finance Minister signals tax rationalization to boost revenue, and the Finance Minister, Dr. Kassia Latuforsen, has stressed the urgent need to improve Ghana's tax administration to help close the compliance gap and boost revenue mobilization. He explained that the country's tax revenue collection, particularly VAT, has significantly lagged behind other countries in the region. The courtier says Ghana has not performed well in revenue mobilization compared to its peers. Ghana's domestic revenue mobilization has stagnated in the last decade and remains below our peers. Collected revenues reached 13.5% of GDP in 2023, and collection from all major taxes remained low, especially VAT, as compared to our peer countries. Kojo, you know, last year I did a presentation, at an international conference on the taxation of cryptocurrencies, implications for sub-Saharan governments and individuals. Now, something I did together with Dr. John Amo of the University of Professional Studies, Accra. Good morning, Dr. John Amo. We realized that Ghana ranks in the top 10 when it comes to sub-Saharan Africa in the usage of cryptocurrency. Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Ghana ranks five in sub-Saharan Africa. And that majority of transactions below $1,000 is within sub-Saharan Africa, globally. About 80% of those transactions are within sub-Saharan Africa. And just imagine Ghana's position. Now, unfortunately, nobody is able to track these transactions and nobody taxes anything. People just do business in this country, and we're not aware. Today, I've said it before, there are a lot of people who are engaged in businesses that are earning income and yet do not pay even a peswa to the state. Now, who calls them?
Wait a second. Especially for those who move from the normal tabletops to commerce, you know, covered forced a lot of businesses to switch from the human tabletop to more of commerce. So now Kojo would now apply something on Instagram, get it, they'll bring it straight to your house. There's no physical evidence now that you can go and tax that property. So now most of these businesses are moving to the commerce space. And how do you tackle
the e-commerce?
E-commerce. You know, so the challenge is that, yes, spreading the net means that identify all these new areas that you can spread the gap, because the challenge is that there's still the few people who are being burdened with number of taxes. And even yesterday, if you heard what Dr. Amin Adam argued, that this rationalization of taxes could result in some new taxes being introduced and others being all those things to try.
You don't
and
have
close,
to come and tax the same, you know, old
so
compliance.
So that was the alleged in his presentation yesterday.
I say this all the time. I do not in God's name understand how we consistently talk about the fact that our workforce, 80% of the workforce is in the informal sector. Okay, are those persons paid?
Of course, yeah.
Do they pay income tax?
Nope.
And then it can determine what you can put to tax it.
Well, no, but so why is it difficult for us to know this? But you see, it's so easy getting people within the informal sector into the formal sector. It's so easy. We'll talk about all of these later on. I want to touch on more of the stories. SOEs pose economic threat on account of poor performance. And so Ghana's finance minister has raised alarm over the growing financial risks that threaten to cripple the economy, primarily due to poor performance of state-owned enterprises and joint venture companies. Until we recognize that these are businesses and these are not political institutions, we will still have the same thing going on. Put in place professionals to manage state-owned enterprises. Let it not be a reward for a political party winning power. Let me move on. Atuforsen, seven pillars for economic reset. Finance Minister Atuforsen has announced a comprehensive seven-point economic recovery plan designed to reset the economy and put it back on the path of growth. All on the front page of the graphic business. And the back page talks about Super Zoo. Ashanti region super zones cannot be glossed over. But look, in the central region, that chap from Fanspim, the 100 meters and 200, my goodness.
He's not from Ogasco.
No. Ogasco has the high jumper. Fantastic
okay,
guy.
Yeah, okay.
But this guy, but you know, the thing about even Ogasco is a person with disability, the high jumper.
Oh, really?
I am telling you. But he's fantastic. The way he does it, you know, and then, so, but look, this guy is able to run 100 meters, 10.02 seconds.
Wow.
Huh.
Secondary school.
That's good.
In any serious country interested in sports,
you immediately grab this guy and start investing.
This guy will become, look, this guy will become a national asset. You see, one of the things we don't, it saddens my heart that we have given all the money to GFA and Black Stars, and all we get from Black Stars, heartbreak. And that is why I do not even see why we are worrying ourselves. World Cup will not qualify.
Hey, Masa, please. Okay.
We don't even have a coach.
Well, there's not a technical director.
We don't have a coach.
Advisor in to support him.
Oh boy, we don't have a coach.
To the Economic Times, you have rollover of Cocoa Sales contract deprive Ghana benefits of production rebound. So says the Minister of Finance. Government committed to developing Afina 1X acid hole substantial gas amidst unitization withdrawal. Also, bridging the funding gap. Economists suggest key areas to consider in executing Mohammed's initiatives. BOG warned against photocopying of Ghana cards consumer. That is COMAC report of a drop in fuel prices. T-bill auction interest rates tumble to 20%. Government records 180% of a subscription. And whilst we are excited about this treasury bills thing, there are implications for the economy. And you want to look at when it's dropping, where are the commercial banks going to go? Are they still going to invest in these T-bills or look at other options to invest as well? And what it also, the implications when it comes to liquidity in the system and all the rest. So we could be celebrating on the fiscal side, but it could have some monetary implications as well for the economy.
The hope is that the commercial banks will have to find other things to do with their money. And hopefully the obvious option will be to lend to businesses at better rates.
The banks should do banking.
Okay.
I mean, that's the hope, isn't it?
Well, it's the hope, but it also, you know, it's a hope, and it reduces government's liabilities also over a long period. And so, but I think it's the way to go. How do you get these for 27%? That's too much. But that's also because of the challenges we've had previously. I think that going forward, once these rates begin to reduce and once we get into what we had in the past, say 11%, 12%, 10%, then the financial institutions, the banks will begin to look elsewhere. They begin to look at the private sector and start giving loans at say 14%, 15%. That's the way to go. Look, George.
But I think that Winston, you should also look at inflation and the larger economy as well. So those actors in the fiscal space also have to do more, because if the environment itself is good, bank, there will not be any commercial bank's interest
the thing about
to hold on and not to lend to business.
The thing about inflation also is that if I, and when we even talk about all the things we talk about, let me just make this point in a minute. If I have to borrow from the bank, Kujo, and import into this country or expand my business into this country, I have a liability. So how do I pay that without passing it on to you? So if I go for that, I'll pass it on to you. And if I have to pass it on to you, I would have to increase my prices. So over the period, my prices continue to go up. But if I borrow at, say, 15, 10%, as our neighbors are doing, why would I increase above 20%?
Quick one on the National Economic Dialogue. Today, if you look at the program schedule at 4:40, 4:45, Dr. Ishmael Yamson will present the communique. And what more people will be looking forward to what this communique will capture, because the argument is that whatever that will be done there will be captured in the budget. What will be the recommendations coming from this dialogue in terms of what we have to do to stabilize the economy?
We'll talk more about that later on the show, but Southern, on the front page of the Ghanaian Times, Southern Ghana to experience heavy rains March to June with potential floods. That's according to the Met Agency.
Wow.
National Economic Dialogue, I'll see through all proposals, President assures. And man allegedly kills girlfriend, buries body in septic tank.
Oh my God.
Backpage, Volkswagen Ghana to roll out vehicle financing and let's preserve our culture, customs, and traditions. GTA.
Your morning radio.
It's not true. Each person, $100,000. As what? Appearance fee.
As appearance fee.
And the personal assistant of Otto Addo.
Yeah.
Is paid to go to the World Cup by the state.
Mm-hmm. $20,000.
Hold on.
You see, the issue
hold
is
on,
that...
Hold on, Winston,
calm down.
Our caretaker coach at the time.
Yes. Yes. That was him.
Had his personal assistant.
Yes.
Paid $20,000.
Yes.
What is the duty of the purse holder?
He holds the money that the GFA said in their statement yesterday that the ministry spends. So the GFA submits a budget to the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
The ministry approves the budget, and then the ministry spends the money. So they don't give the money to the FA to spend. They send someone, a budget officer, to spend the money. And that person is called the purse holder. He himself was also paid $10,000 from this budget that the FA presented.
Was that his... was he also paid per diem?
Yes, everybody's paid per... Everybody that is being paid... What we are talking about is just honorarium. Everybody here is also paid per diem.
What?
Everybody in this list.
Break it down for us.
This is a budget that the GFA General Secretary presented. You know, and this issue is coming up because the GFA has consistently said that they've been targeted wrongly over Blackstar's budgetary issues and that they didn't spend the money. It's true they don't spend the money, but they tell the ministry how much to spend because they submit the budget. The ministry doesn't prepare the budget. They submit the budget. So any figure that the ministry spends is because the FA has asked them to spend it. Now, the ministry does have some leeway to decide whether or not they want to approve the budget, and they have to scrutinize the budget and all of that. But is the sheer preposterous nature of some of the things in the line items of the budget that the FA presented that is a cause for concern? So you look at one of the biggest issues being appearance fees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the FA in this budget have budgeted appearance fee of 54 people for every single one of the 54 people to be paid $100,000 each. So for appearance fees alone, the GFA was telling the Minister of Youth and Sports to spend $5.4 million. Now, we have even kicked against the issue of appearance fees for Blasters in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But even if the players were to be paid $100,000, that is 26 players, and that would amount to what? 2.6 million.
Yes.
There is a remaining 28 others with the national team that the FA has told the Ministry of Youth and Sports to prepare $100,000 each for.
Hold on.
Who are these 28 people?
So additional 28.
Yes.
So essentially, $5.4 million.
Now, did we pay the technical team appearance fee too?
Yes, we paid an appearance fee.
And there are how many?
So let's say there are 8 people.
So where the 20, who are they?
That's a good question.
Who are all these people? Is the FA president also paid appearance fee?
He's part of a management. He gets paid appearance fee.
The Black Stars Management Committee.
Oh, they got paid as appearance fee of $100,000 each.
Appearing to go and do what?
And what was crazy about this one was that if you look through the budget properly, you'd realize that the general secretary who wrote this memo also proposed to pay 3 members of the national team's department who presumably would have performed the same task or the equivalent of what we often are told is the job of the Black Stars Management Committee. So for this World Cup, we sent 3 people who were part of the national team's department, which is actually good practice. I mean, it's one thing a lot of people have called for, but still decided to go with a full complement of the Black Stars Management Committee.
And we pay them appearance fee of $100,000.
US dollars, yes, of course. Thanks to Alhaji Karim Gruza, we have now been told that he was asked to return the money. And we do know that someone like Dr. Randy Abe rejected his. We do know that seconds as well. But the sheer idea that someone would think it is a good idea to spend $5.4 million US dollars, and this is not a rich country, this is not a football rich economy. this is a football association that does not have money to fund its capital projects. But in one move, for one tournament, they propose to spend this much. Now, Friends has mentioned the issue of the personal assistance to the Black Stars coach.
Yes, I
he was to be paid $20,000. That's what the GFA proposed.
Okay, $20,000.
Yes, that amount is the equivalent of what our scouts for the tournament were paid. It is also the equivalent of the same honorarium that the head of delegation was paid. In fact, his was actually more than what the general secretary was penciled down for.
The personal assistant of Coach Otuadu.
Yes.
Gets $20,000.
And then beyond that,
what was his
one of the things I
want to understand something.
They would not clarify, because the assistant coaches for different purposes. So they're supposed to be a fitness instructor. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to
and
be
we
a
paid
video
the
editor.
Fitness instructor.
Yes. And they're supposed
we paid
to
all
be
the assistant coaches.
All of them.
And we paid this one also.
Exactly.
Personal assistant.
Now check this.
To the FA.
You know that before the tournament, our players were scattered across the world.
Yes.
So for example, Andre was playing in Qatar. Daniel Ifeanyi was playing in Ghana because it was with Accra Hatteboek in the Ghana Premier League. Kudus was playing in the UK, in the Netherlands.
Yes.
Yes. Somehow, the FA priced each air ticket as the same.
We chartered flights for them or what?
No. So there was supposed to be a pre-tournament camp in Abu Dhabi, mm-hmm. UAE. Mm-hmm. The players were supposed to all go there. So we'll buy tickets for each player, mm-hmm. right? Andre was in Qatar. Mm-hmm. I'm saying to you that
Andre was in Qatar.
Yes.
Okay.
But the FA
and the camping was in UAE.
Abu Dhabi. Yes. Relatively short.
Very short.
Yes. Not the same as someone coming from, for example, the United States or from Ghana or from Serbia.
Okay.
Where our players were. But in the wisdom of the FA, the cost of flying each person, irrespective of where they were and irrespective of the actual flight ticket, was the same.
How much was that?
I'll get that for you. $7,000, yes.
Dollars?
Yes.
$7,000? Yes. Per player?
Yes.
To Abu Dhabi?
Yes. But you see, we have...
Hold on, long is it just to Abu Dhabi or from...
No,
there
to,
back?
No.
Just to Abu Dhabi?
Yes. Just but that was where the pre-tournament
flight campaign. Ticket alone?
Yes.
Because that's a business class.
Because we do know that.
We agree them business class.
Yes. Our players don't fly economy. They fly business class.
Yes. Winston, the air ticket for one of these players alone could have fixed that school. The school that we are about to tell people about. The school that has... these are not cracks.
Kojo, you are not lying.
These are holes in the wall that cows can climb through. Right? One of the tickets that given to these players to fly from God knows where to one location could have solved this problem. Look at the endless black hole of corruption that football has turned into.
And Kojo, you've even gone too far. Just yesterday, we published another story of a major scandal about the FA and the acquisition of buses that were supposed to help Premier League clubs. Muftau Nabila has been investigating this. And Muftau is here. You can share some details with us briefly.
Before Muftau shares those details, I mean, before he shares...
Hey, Winston, it's like... you don't want to go away from the black.
No. So why? Our players fly business class.
Yeah. Always.
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 Paid for by the
state. Always. Okay. Black Stars players. Not Black Queens players.
Business class. Kojo, let's check the price of business class today.
Winston, relax.
No, I want to check.
Where are you flying to? That's the first question.
Fly
Emirates. But you see,
check it for me right now.
But you see, Winston, as some of these things sound,
I'll check it myself.
You are only able to present this budget when you know that the approving authority is not going to make significant changes to it. And that's why I keep saying that this unholy alliance between the GFA and the sports ministry does not bode well for this country. Yesterday, in this week's issue of Hindsights, I mentioned that the GFA should not be defending themselves and telling the people that we are not responsible for drafting the budget, because you are the other half of a high-level collusion between the GFA and the sports ministry. And check this. Every time the issue of budget comes up, they tend to sing the same tune. 2014, Ibrahim Sani Dara told us that the issue of the Black Stars budget was a state secret, and that the chief of staff at that time...
State secret?
Yeah. That was on GTV. He said the chief of staff at that time had cautioned each of them from that meeting they had from putting the details out. Now, what he did not realize was that in that statement, he had exposed the truth that they are not only the people who drafts the budget, they are involved at each stage of the implementation of the budget. And they go as far as sometimes having representation in cabinet meetings and, as he mentioned, with the chief of staff. A year later, Mahama Yar'Adua, who today is the majority leader in parliament.
2015.
Ifeanyi Apokua asked him about the budget for AFCON in Equatorial Guinea. He said she should not ask him useless questions.
He said, let's focus on discussing more important things.
But he did use the exact expression, useless questions. Now, since then, what has happened to the culture of people? And when I say people, I'm talking about the GFA and the sports ministry, giving us an itemized breakdown of the expenditure at major tournaments. 2017, we didn't get it. 2019 in Egypt, we didn't get it. 2022, the World Cup in Qatar that we're talking about today, we still do not have the GFA or the sports ministry going to parliament or making available to the public the itemized breakdown of our expenditure. We went to Cameroon for the AFCON, it was the same. Cote d'Ivoire, just nearby, it was the same. In fact, on each of the last three occasions, the sports ministers have only gone to tell Ghanaians how much we spent. But what exactly we spent those amounts on, nobody knows. And that's why yesterday in my feature, I wrote that beyond telling Ghanaians that you want transparency and accountability, John Mahama has to ensure that Ghanaians get to see how much is being spent on our national teams. But more importantly, our spending reflects the fact that we're going through austerity. If we sit here and say that our MPs should not be flying business class, or we should not be giving them conditions of service, if we say that we should not be giving them conditions of service, that reflects leaders from a first world, rich, well-run country. That has to extend into every facet of the economy or every sector, including sports. So while we talk about this expose and all of these things, the most important thing for me is that John Mahama, the sports minister Kofi Adams, they show themselves different. The Black Stars are taking on Chad later this month on the 21st. A budget has already been approved. Tickets have already been bought for players. So maybe that is water under the bridge. But from here on, we need to know that whatever was spent for this particular assignment makes sense, and that we are not bloating. But how do you justify that you paid 28 other people or $2.8 million for other people whose services you cannot readily explain?
Meanwhile, you are going for them to score you.
How much did we earn from our participation in the World Cup?
Nothing.
There's some 12 million or
We got, instead of 9 million, we got 7.9 million.
7.9 million. How much did we spend participating in the World Cup?
In the FIFA World Cup, we spent close to $7 million, if I remember.
So that is what I mean when I say we got nothing. And you see, the 7 million he's talking about does not account for the cost of playing the qualifiers. Right. So, yes, the World Cup is important for us. It gives this country that exposure. It gives our players the biggest platform to go and excel. But do it the way other countries do. You know, be sensible in your expenditure.
You know, I've listened to Steve Bruce, former United captain. He talks about playing for England and the fact that one of the things that really hurts him is that he never got to wear the jersey, even in a friendly game, just once. He says he would have cherished that all his life. For us in Ghana, the players do us a favor. if they have to come and play for the Black Stars?
No, because they have realized that mercenaries, right, feed fat off their work. So, for example, if a Black Stars player knows that for all the insults and the criticisms they are going to suffer, there is an even bigger contingent on that budget who are earning as much as they earn as appearance fee, they will definitely put a price on their service to the nation.
Why must we pay them appearance fees?
Yeah, let me ask this.
That is a conversation.
If you don't mind, I would like some education. When you take the Black Stars team, all of these foreign players, are they all in, you know, Premier?
Not all of them.
So quite a number of them play in, you know, subsidiary divisions.
A lot of them, actually.
Okay.
A lot of them.
So those people, when they are traveling with their teams to go and play matches, do they fly business class?
Not all of them. Especially if you play in the championship.
Predominantly, you usually travel by coach. Of the class have got their own flights that they travel the players.
But for those who play in, for example,
I'm talking about the junior league people who, because a lot of our players are not playing in Premier or
the only ones
Serie
who go by
A
flights is if you play in the top five European leagues and when you have continental engagements. So someone who plays in the championship, for example, chances are that if
they're flying safe, you know, go fly some.
Yes.
But we fly them business class, 7K a pop to go and lose income.
So Kojo, the thing is that when the FA prepares a budget to be submitted to the ministry, they cap it at a figure. So they've capped it that players who are coming from Europe, we are capping them at 7K. We'll go and submit it to the ministry. Sometimes the ministry engages a traveling agency. The traveling agency now decides, okay, if you're flying, let's say, a player from England, it will cost you $4,000 or $5,000 or $7,000. So they do all those aggregations to arrive at the specific figure that will fly down the players. But when Alex Asante is putting everything together to submit, it is capped at a specific figure. Because, so for instance, I recall in my conversation with Neil Anthe van der Poel, he did explain to me that the FA had come to his office with a budget that says that they were going to fly each player from, say, England, let's say, for $5,000. So he decides that, okay, I'm going to call a traveling agency and ask the traveling agency how much it will cost me to fly a business flight for a player to come down. So that traveling agency will tell, okay, it will cost you $3,000. So I say, okay. So times how many players are coming from England? And then they will use that figure. So that is what it usually goes through. But Alex Asante, he will give you a cap off of how much it will cost to fly a player from Europe to come.
But that's corruption.
The point is that
because you are not accounting for the actual cost. And we are a poor country. Remember that. So even in every person in the value chain is supposed to at least have the nation at heart.
That's true.
The same way we expect the player to have the nation at heart. The guy doing the budget should also have the nation at heart and understand that we're a poor country. So you don't bring some general figure, the average of 7K, knowing that some people it will cost 2K, some people it will cost 3K, some people, and there's average. No, you don't do that.
So let me tell you one thing. Let me tell you one thing. The FA had budgeted $10,000 for medicals, but the ministry engaged the team doctor and was like, no, $10,000 is too much. We can cut it. So they cut it down to like $3,000 or $4,000. So the budget would come. But the onus is on the ministry and cabinet to sit down, review the budget and say, we can cut down this, we can cut down that, and we can cut that. And they will arrive at a specific figure. But when it comes to the FA, their job is, so the figures they often
their job
put,
is to just give you,
their figures they often put so there average. Are just
no,
drafts.
No, this budget,
but you see,
this budget was approved. So and I can tell you categorically that, so I first did this story in May 2023. So I'm coming, I'm building a point. All these figures were not approved. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, we went to the World Cup. Remember, they went with coaches from the Ghana Premier League. All those people were part of the technical team they took to the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Some of these players, some of these coaches were given $5,000 for going to the World Cup. So, the figure that is put in there It's not what was given to the coaches. And if and I have spoken to these coaches. In fact,
was the budget approved?
Not everything was approved.
Winston, are you sure? Winston.
Yes.
Winston. So what you are saying to me is that
I can say categorically that not everything here was approved.
What you are saying to me is that they presented. What's the amount that they presented to pay each of these people who ended up getting 5,000? What was the amount they presented?
The FA presented.
Yes.
So the FA had said they should give them appearance fee. So in fact,
so that would have
in
been
fact, even the media officer of the FA was supposed to be paid appearance fee.
Which is how much? Well,
you see,
he was also supposed to get 100,000, but he didn't
what Mustau does not realize is that this defense, could you just make this defense throws the whole conversation into a point
it is
of
not, embezzlement. It is not a defense.
Mustau, hold on.
It's like you are just stating what the facts are.
I get you. This explanation, it brings up another issue of embezzlement because if you tell me that you budgeted $100,000 to pay as appearance fee to certain persons, but then deep down in your heart, you have also itemized for a different group who you made promises to, and so you're going to take from this pool and then come and pay them, that is embezzlement. That is the classic definition of
misappropriation of funds,
of public funds.
And
you see, for me, Winston, irrespective of, for me, the central theme in this conversation is the disingenuous nature of the Ghana Football Association and the idea that this is actually something that should fly any proper scrutiny, that they can actually present this. Again, I always tell people this, in every expenditure, in every decision that we make, when it comes to anything public, we have to be guided by the fact that we are not sitting on a bottomless pit of cash. How do you tell me that you propose to pay $20,000 to the personal assistant of the national team coach?
So we're talking about the proposals they made.
How is that justifiable?
It's ingenious that you make these proposals.
And you see, Winston, after everything that has been said about appearance fees,
don't forget what actually gets done too is then called a state secret. Forget about the proposal.
And so the rest of us,
actually done is called a state secret.
How do you tell me that after everything that has been said about appearance fee and how much disaffection it has created for the team itself, you, in good conscience, think that it is a good idea to put together this list that has 54 beneficiaries for the same appearance fee? You either simply care more about how much you are going to line your pockets than the damage that you are going to do to the team. Because look, after the Brazil 2014, everyone admitted that the love died. People had hardcore evidence of corruption, of mismanagement, and clear evidence that there were too many people who were feeding fat of the national team, to the extent that the team's continuous decline and the culture of mismanagement around the team benefited them. All of those issues about those people whose job description we did not know, the sort of service they were offering the national team, we could not tell the Jamafe Commission somewhere in November 2014, still persist. And they are the very issues that have eroded public trust in the GFA. They are the very issues that have created disaffection for the team itself. And I'm saying to you, Winston, that you see the players, the reason why it is important to them that they also drive a hard bargain and get as much for their service as possible is things like this list. Is that there is a bigger contingent that is going to be paid an appearance fee per what the GFA have presented. If you made promises to Congress and said you are going to take Samuel Obuedu, you are going to take Ignatius or whoever to the World Cup, find a way of settling them. You don't behave in a manner that creates disaffection for the team and even enters the realms of embezzlement and misappropriation of the public funds.
Guys, yes, Kojo, you want to make
this message quickly before we go. This one says, Kojo, I was on a flight with the Bafana team on their return to Johannesburg after they won bronze in the last African Cup of Nations. All the players were in economy with some officials in business class. We waste money in this country, and that's Kofi Boakye who sent that one through.
Yes, and I mean, I don't understand
many examples.
I don't understand why we have to put, look, to be very honest with you, today we've heard because no member of the government will fly first class. They currently fly business class, and so you can say fly economy premium. I still think it will make sense. I still think it would make sense it if you're flying from here.
It won't take anything away from the team. It won't take anything
away from you if you... Look, if I do not think that players of the senior national team, the Black Stars, deserve to fly business class, just as I think that our politicians should fly economy. All of us should fly economy. You are working for the state. If I, a private man, decide to use my own money and I say I'll fly business, that is my problem.
But Winston, how do you make that argument to the Black Stars captain when he knows that every member of the management committee, in fact, the FA contingent that is going with them, is on the same classes of tickets that you say are too expensive, so you won't put them on business class or first class?
So, well,
how do you tell them to go and sit in economy?
So then obviously it shouldn't apply only to the players, you see. And listen, I mean, in truth, the thing that makes it most annoying is what is going to happen at the end of the journey. So the same way that when a politician is flying to go and beg for money and he flies business class or first class, it is unacceptable. It's the same way that a whole contingent of players and officials going to get beaten by Chad. Or what are some of the countries that have beaten us?
Comoros.
And you are flying business class to go and collect defeat from Comoros and come back.
Hold on. I want to see. We're looking at the budgets. And see, when I talk about the budget, I'm just talking about the budget proposal.
Yeah.
The fact that in there, and is the mindset. So at some point, and look, we have a certain attitude. So we go with 7,000 and get maybe $4,000 or $5,000 approved. Muftar, you get the point?
Yeah, sure.
So you have shown that we actually paid, what, $1,000 for a training pitch?
Yeah.
We rented a training pitch.
Yes.
Okay. When we have been taking money from FIFA, and today Mali has better stadiums than Ghana does, and we get the same FIFA money, what we have been doing is to go and buy 17 year old buses and come and give it to clubs. I mean, what sort of people are we?
No, so in fact, those buses, we didn't use FIFA money to buy.
Mm-hmm.
The FA say it is their internally generated money they used to buy.
The FA generated how much?
How does the FA generate money?
No, they generated how much?
Through sponsorships.
They didn't make a lot of money.
Even
from player transfer.
Last 2 years, they actually made about 25 million Ghana series. Actually,
okay. So fantastic.
This is what
and still
million.
The government buys them $7,000 tickets.
No, but government, fly. The government is in charge of the national team. So when it comes to the national team, we can give that. So the thing is that the 9 buses that the FA bought, per the documents that we have, and I'm just going to give you one of the documents for you to go through yourself from the Ghana Revenue Authority. This is a document that they declared the buses. In fact, they've asked some of the clubs to bring back their buses because they say that they do not have the documents to be able to register those buses. So this is a document from Ghana Revenue Authority Customs Division that I secured. And after that, you can go to the next document, which you will see the company that...
You want to spoil my eyes? Send it to me. I'll open it up. Muftar wants to disturb these eyes that I am maintaining.
I'm already tired.
Okay, so I'm sending you two documents. In fact, three. I'm going to send you three documents.
But what are the contents?
The content is the...
Have you shared it with me? I'll open it here.
Okay, so let me just give it out to you.
At least my skin is breaking because this thing you want to do there, you want to. But I mean,
so I've said to you the first one, and in fact, one of the things that actually shocked me was the fact that when I cross checks from Hyundai Ghana for a brand new county bus 2025. It is $79,200, which translates. If you take a look at that very document I've sent to you, the exchange rate used there was 15.1391 per dollar.
Yes, 15.1391.
Yes, per dollar. So if you convert that by 79,200, it will give you like 1.something million Ghana cedis.
Mm-hmm.
In effect, the FA could have bought 4 buses, brand new 2025 county buses, and given them to the clubs. However, the association decided that no, we were going to rather go and buy
Rickety. Old.
And you take a look at that document. The document says that take it, go down, you see the chassis number of the car, and it is 2014 made. And I'll send you another chassis number that actually shows that the car is a 208 made.
So who's the FA deceiving?
I don't know what. And it cannot. So why we cannot say whether it is the FA that changed the chassis number, yeah, or who changed the chassis number?
Tire import duty.
So actually, that's what doing. So I'll send you another document.
That's a crime.
That shows that if the FA were to pay the actual duty of the cars that are 208 made, they would have paid about 120,000
more.
Yes,
because they would have paid a penalty.
Yeah.
So in this document, they actually paid 50,000 Ghana cedis less. So 9 buses, that's like.
And was this sourced through competitive bidding?
No, it was sole sourcing. So it is the company of the chief of staff of the Ghana Football Association.
Conflict of interest.
Yes.
What's his name?
Michael Osekre. I'm just sending you his company details right now for you to have a look at that.
I'm just going to conclude by saying this. Again, we don't sit on a bottomless pit of cash. The FA has a lot of failed projects. You don't have a fitting national training center for your team. Every time the Blasters come to town, they have to sleep in a Lisa hotel at the expense of the state. So when you put up a budget like this and behave as if you are the United States of America, you have everything set, you don't need to save money for any other thing. When there is a World Cup, which would have fetched a windfall, my expectation was that the FA would have gone with a significantly leaner budget proposal to the sports ministry, but also informed the sports ministry that, you know what, we're saving $2 or $3 million. Give us the equivalent of what our friends in Senegal have built for their national teams. Give us the equivalent of what our friends in Egypt and Morocco have built for their national teams. That is what any right-thinking, progressive mind will do. They will look at the money that is coming. How best? Because the World Cup doesn't come around every year. AFCON doesn't fetch you money. So the World Cup is the one tournament where you know that, as for this one, it's a low-hanging fruit. So, and here's the thing, FIFA gave each participating team $1.5 million to prepare for the competition. So if you had gone with, say, 1.5 million budget, or even 500,000, but inform the sports ministry, me, if you tell the ministry and they say, no, we will come and fight for you. Because we would have seen the wisdom in the investment the FA wants to make. But no, they have to line their pockets. They have to spend $5.4 million. This is what the FA wanted to do. Here's the thing. We spent 11 or was it 12 days in Qatar?
We did. The training was, yes. The training was 12 days.
No, the tournament the World itself.
Cup. We did 14 days.
For a 14-day stay in Qatar, we wanted to pay people $100,000 each.
My management committee members.
Do you have a conscience?
Committee members still got that.
Do you have a conscience? Do you think at all? Like, and you see, if these were their Keto Kroku's Dreams FC or Sakre's Vision FC, is this how they manage those clubs? If those were their clubs,
The chief of staff is the owner Vision of Vision FC.
If the money we are talking about here was their own money, and the clubs in question were their clubs, you think this is how they would have spent the money?
Look, guys, I need to hear from. I mean, send in your thoughts. Okay, send in your thoughts.
So, Winston, I've just sent you the documents for you to go through.
Thank you for that, Muftau. Thanks very much. Thanks to the sports team for. I was going to say for enlightening us, but they have really dampened my spirits. If you ask me, this is terrifying. The extent of it, Winston.